majority of those songs debating on if I take this thing off or do I leave it on, and I don't know, so it may come off at some point, or I may faint. Who knows? Whatever comes first. It is good to see everyone out this morning, and I'm looking forward to this next year. We're going to finally be in 2021. We'll be ramping up the return of the Roaring Twenties, I guess, hopefully. And this is going to be my last Sunday morning sermon of the year, and I want to thank all of you all and you all for the wonderful year. And I am excited about what God is going to do and continues to do within this church body and will continue to do in 2021. Let's be prayerful for not only our own individual years, but as far as our congregation is concerned as well. This morning we're going to wrap up this series on the Son of Man. I thought it'd be helpful for us to review just a little bit where we came in the last few weeks, if maybe you've missed a week or two, or you're like me and you just need a refresher. But the Son of Man means human being. In fact, in Psalms, and Psalms 8 specifically, the psalmist uses that phrase to mean humanity in general. All of humanity. Humanity collective. Then Daniel sees this vision in Daniel 7 of a special, unique human being who is being lifted up and is being exalted. Lifted up on the clouds and being presented before God the Father, the Ancient of Days. And all the nations will worship and serve this one special Son of Man. This is a special, unique human being. And we believe that Jesus Christ is that Son of Man. Right? That we believe that he is both fully divine and fully human, that he has received the kingdom and that he rules and he reigns, which means the good news for us is that we live in the era of the reign of the Son of Man. We live in a unique time in human history. From that time that Jesus ascended on the clouds, as Daniel foresaw, we began to live in that era of the reign of the Son of Man. And all throughout the gospel accounts, Jesus says these things about the Son of Man this, or the Son of Man that. And we have to read all of those statements that Jesus makes in light of what Daniel saw in his vision in Daniel chapter 7. When we read the Son of Man statements, we have to understand that this is what the world looks like. For the world to be ruled by one special human being who is uniquely partnered with God the Father. One special human being who is the Son of Man, but is also unlike every human being in that he is fully divine and that he has been fully faithful to the Father. And because of his love and his faithfulness, he has been exalted to that position. And Jesus says all of these statements. And as we read those statements and we say, okay, this is what it looks like to live in a world that is ruled by the Son of Man. So let's just look at a few of those statements that Jesus says. And we've looked at several from the Gospel of John this year, but all throughout the Gospel accounts, like Matthew 9:6, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And again, that's not Jesus saying, for 33 years, this is the authority that I have. He isn't saying that I only have a short amount of time that I can forgive sins. He is saying that this is the authority that I have because I am the Son of Man. And Jesus continues to have that authority to forgive sins for all of us human beings. Jesus has the authority to save you and to save me by virtue of his own sacrifice. He can say that by virtue of his own sacrifice that you are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk. Or in Matthew 16:27, he says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Matthew 19:28, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, speaking specifically to the apostles, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 20:27-28, Jesus says, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give life as a ransom for many. Matthew 26:63, the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And as we've talked all throughout this series, this is good news for us, that a human being, that Jesus, who's fully divine, but fully human being, that this Son of Man rules. And that's good news for us that this Son of Man rules, because the world, he rules the world because he is things like our advocate, 1 John 2:1. He is the human representative who came from here to go there to represent us in the heavenly court. He's our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, mediating between God and man. And we should be thankful that we have an advocate and a mediator. Hebrews 2:11 tells us that he is our older brother. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says that he is our high priest. It is good news, it is great news that this divine human being, this Son of Man, rules the world, and that we live in a totally new era of human history, and those of us who have given our allegiance to the Son of Man. But here is the practical question I want us to wrestle with this morning. What difference does it make in our lives that the Son of Man rules the world? What practical difference does it make in our lives that the Son of Man rules the world? Because it's one thing to talk about theology and praise God and be thankful that we sit here on Sundays and we just say, yes, Jesus is divine, and yes, Jesus is human, and yes, Jesus is King. Praise God, that's true. But then we go out on Monday and we live like everybody else. We don't want to do that, do we? If we are living in this new era of human history, then we have to look like and act like a new race of humans, to put on a new humanity and live differently. So that's the question. What practical difference does it make in our life that the Son of Man rules the world? And with that in mind, I read an article, and it struck me that the man it was talking about, they've done a documentary on, he's been featured in magazines, and the pandemic has hurt his goal, but his goal in life is to visit every Starbucks in the world. And Missy likes coffee, but this guy, right? And as of December of 2019, he has visited over 15,000 Starbucks. Again, that's a lot of coffee. Now, he says the problem with his goal is that even though he is visiting a whole lot of them, they're building them faster than he can visit them. And so he said, every time I visit one, I feel like I've accomplished something, but in reality, I haven't accomplished a thing. And I thought that was really profound. And I wondered if all of us could be so honest that we pursue a lot of things. We set goals and have hobbies and dreams, and in fact, this time of year especially, we're listing out our goals for the coming year. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and maybe we will, or maybe we won't, but once we've done it or not, what have we accomplished? Is our list of things that we want to do and check off a list and we want to get done, what happens if it gets done? What if you did accomplish it? What if you looked back at this past year and you think about all the things that you have accomplished? Is it possible that you might be able to say, like our friend here, what have I accomplished? I've actually accomplished nothing of real value or significance. So now I want us to consider this. Now that the Son of Man reigns, he gives us something that is really worth pursuing. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have a goal or a hobby or even to visit as many Starbucks as you possibly can, but we have to have some things in our lives that are really worth pursuing. And when we start chasing it and we're doing it and we're looking for it and when we finally grab a hold of it, we've actually grabbed hold of something that is significant. That's what the Son of Man gives us. It's something really worth pursuing. And with that in mind, let's look again at John chapter 6. We've talked about this story before, but this story is all about pursuing. Jesus has just gotten done feeding the 5,000. They were hungry, and Jesus feeds them with a little bit of fish and bread. And then after the meal, Jesus goes away by himself to pray. And then, of course, after they finish eating the meal, they get hungry again. And the people are like, where's this Jesus guy? And Jesus says, it's because they're hungry. It's because they want more bread. So look at John 6:22. On the next day, the crowd remained on the other side of the sea, saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came from the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum. I mean, they are serious people. We are going to find this Jesus. And so they get in the boats, and so seeking Jesus, John continues, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, the answer Jesus gives is not only fitting for them, but I want us this morning how fitting it is for us. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs. Now, wait a minute. We say, hold on. Didn't they see signs? Weren't they just amazed by the fact that they were fed with a handful of fish and a little bit of bread and that he fed all these people? Didn't they see signs? And you remember all throughout the Gospel of John, we've been in this book all year long, and John so often uses this word signs, and Jesus uses this word signs. And remember, a sign is not about itself. If you blow through a stop sign and you just keep going and you don't stop the stop sign, it doesn't make any difference or not if you actually saw it. Yeah, I know what one looks like. It's got eight sides, red, big white letters, say STOP, I know that. But you didn't stop. So you didn't see the sign. If you didn't stop, the sign points to something outside of itself. If you could see those things, if you could see these things that Jesus was doing, and your only thought was, boy, I sure could use some more fish, or I sure like to be healed, or I want something right now, but you weren't thinking that this is the Son of Man who has come into the world to rule over heaven and earth, that this is the Messiah, that everything changes for everybody in the world from this moment on. If that's not your thinking, then you don't really understand the signs. And here we have a group of people who were impressed by Jesus. They liked Jesus. They had dropped everything they were doing for the day, got in boats, crossed the sea to find Jesus. They wanted him. They wanted the bread that he provided, and they didn't see him, though, for who he really was. And I understand that these people were on the cusp of a new era of human history, that this changed everything. And Jesus says to them, you didn't really see the signs. You're chasing me because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for bread that perishes. What if Jesus had just said, okay, you want some more bread? I'll make some more bread. Who's got a few loaves handy? I'm going to feed 5,000 people. Again, he could do that. But what if he had and they got all the bread they wanted? What's going to happen in a day or two? It's going to get moldy and it's gone, or they're going to eat it and it's gone. It's only going to last a minute. It's just temporary bread. It's food that perishes. He says, don't work for the food that perishes. Now again, he doesn't mean you don't have to have bread anymore. You can't have bread anymore. He's not instituting some weird paleo diet. He's saying, don't eat the food that perishes. He's not saying don't have a job. Of course, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you dropped everything. You chased me down so that you could have food that perishes. But here's what you should be working for. Work for this. Strive for this. Seek this. Pursue this, the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. God has said, this is the one. This is the Son of Man, and when the Son of Man is lifted up, the Son of Man will give food to you that will not perish, but will endure. All other food perishes. Everything else perishes. It's good for a moment. A cup of coffee is great if it gets cold. You drink it. If you drink it, and then it's gone, and that's it. It's over with. But Jesus says the Son of Man is going to give you food that endures, not just endures, but endures to eternal life. Well, what does that mean? That the Son of Man gives you something that if you seek it and you pursue it and you take it and you endure to preserve you for the age to come. Just sit with that metaphor for just a moment. That there are all kinds of movies and books and stories and ideas about the Fountain of Youth. People have sought the Fountain of Youth. What if there was this pool of water and you drank this water? Or in this case, this food, and you eat this food, and you will live forever into the age to come. That it will preserve your life beyond death. What if there was such a food? What would you do for such a food? What would you pay for such a food? You think about the money that we pay for food. We live in a first world country and we pay crazy amounts of money for food. And we sit down to a nice meal at a nice restaurant and it's great and it's nice and I'm not saying anything bad about it, but in an hour it's gone. Or if you're with me, it's a lot sooner than that, but it's gone. And in less than a week, the leftovers you brought home, they're gone too. And you spent a lot of money on that. You worked really hard on that meal and it's gone just like that. And Jesus says the Son of Man can give you food that can endure for eternal life. Work for that food. Again, it's not saying that it's wrong to have other kinds of food. But we can feel our lives pursuing these temporary pleasures. It's not just about food. It's about all the perishable things in our lives that we chase. Fame, fortune, popularity. Check your phones to see how many likes you've got. We do all these kinds of things and it's temporary and it's fleeting and it's gone in a second and we chase it and we pursue it and we work for it and we drop everything we have to jump in a boat and chase it. And Jesus says, in just a moment, those things are all gone. But the Son of Man, when the Son of Man reigns, he can give you bread that endures to eternal life. Work for this food. This is the kind of thing you should pursue and work for. Jesus says, work for that. So, of course, the next question is what must we do? Verse 28, to be doing the works of God. What does God want me to do to have the kind of food that endures to eternal life? Again, if there was an actual meal you could eat and live forever, you'd say, who's serving it? I'll eat anywhere that's going to last forever. How much does it cost? Because I will go and I will sell all that I have to buy that meal and eat that meal and live forever. What kinds of works do we need to do to have the food that endures to eternal life? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That's it, isn't it? That when Jesus says believe, I hope we understand. He doesn't mean give a one-time mental assent to who Jesus is. When Jesus talks about believing in the other Gospels, he puts it in terms of like become my disciples. Follow me. This is what it is to believe in me, to trust in me, to follow me, to be baptized into Jesus, to commit yourself to him, to give him your allegiance because he is the Son of Man. He is the king. He is the high priest. He is our advocate. He is the one who rules and reigns, who has the authority to forgive sins, who gives eternal life. Pursue him. Follow him. Trust him. Drop everything. Get in a boat and chase him down, not for the food that perishes to solve some temporary problem, but because he's the one that can give you life for the age to come. I want us to think about that. The things that we spend our lives pursuing, the things that we get so wrapped up in. We live in an incredibly politically charged environment, and all of these sons of men are vying for our attention and our allegiances, and we get so wrapped up in their rule and their reign, and not just in politics, but in entertainment and sports and in so many areas of our lives. We get caught up in other people's rule and reign and chasing them down and the pleasure and prosperity and the peace that we think they can give us. And Jesus says, all of that, all of this is perishing. But the Son of Man reigns. Not will reign, but is reigning. That is true too. He will reign. But the Son of Man reigns now. We will reign with him. And he can give you food that endures to eternal life if you pursue him. If you seek him, believe in him, give him your allegiance. So what are we pursuing? What are we chasing after? I'm not knocking visiting every Starbucks you can, but even that guy recognizes he accomplishes some of those things. He really hasn't done anything. Can we all be that honest with ourselves? That with all of our to-do lists and bucket lists and all of our New Year's resolutions and all of the things that we want to accomplish in our lives, but even if we do, what have we really accomplished? What are we pursuing? What are we working for? There's an amazing amount of peace that comes with understanding that this meal is nice, this car is nice, these things are nice. I don't mind having them, but if I need to lose it, if I have to sell it, if I need to give it away and share it with somebody, I can do it because these things aren't my pursuits. because these things are all perishable. There's an amazing amount of peace when you actually know what endures, and it's Jesus and his reign. That's what endures. That's why when Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and Martha was so busy doing so many things, and Mary was doing what? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was so concerned. My sister's not helping me, Lord. She's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. And Jesus says, you're concerned about so many things, Martha. But there's only one thing that is necessary. And Mary has chosen that. We are so concerned and so worried about so many things. And we're pursuing so many things that so many of them are temporary and perishable. Are we chasing and pursuing the one thing that endures? And that is the reign of the Son of Man. We are, as Christians today, in 2020, we are the lucky ones. We are the privileged ones in that we already know this. It is not only our privilege to live in it, but to embrace it, but to also share it with our neighbors. So here is our very final moment of truth question. What will your goals be for 2021 if you were really seeking the food that the Son of Man gives? That doesn't mean don't have a goal to lose weight or exercise more. Those goals are fine, but what would your goals be if you were intentional in saying, because the Son of Man reigns, and because the Son of Man has changed everything, because Jesus gives the food that endures to eternal life, here are my goals. Here's what I'm pursuing. Here's what I'm living for. What would your goals be? Maybe it would be sharing the truth with more people. If we really believe that the Son of Man reigns and he gives food that endures to eternal life, and what is that food, by the way? It's himself. It's his own body and in his own blood, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. If we believe that this is true, then one of our goals might be to share more with our neighbors. One of our goals might be to be more intentional about thinking about that truth and dwelling on that truth and singing about that truth and studying about that truth. Virus or no virus, we still have goals for 2021 and beyond. We still want to send support to ensure the spread of the gospel to all corners of the world. We have those goals because the leadership here believes that the Son of Man reigns. They believe that we are living under the reign of the Son of Man now and forever. And because he reigns, we believe that the world needs to hear the good news about his reign. They need to hear the good news about his authority to forgive sins. They need to hear the good news that the Son of Man is the one who judges human beings. They need to hear the good news, and because they need to hear it, and we need to hear it, this is what really matters, and this is what really endures, and this is what is really worth pursuing. We've set these goals in front of us because we believe in these truths. So what would our goals be in 2021, individually and collectively, if we are really seeking the only thing that Jesus can provide? Now, just on closing here, on a personal note, maybe more to you all in Facebook world. I may be only speaking to myself in this, but I want to say that if this year has broke you down, or isolated you, or left you kind of grieving, or fearful, or hurt, I want you to know that I don't think you have to muster up cheer. I don't think that you have to feel like a downer in the midst of celebration. I think you can sit right at the feet of the Savior who came for you right where you are. That's how Emmanuel works. God with us, in the dirt, wherever he finds us. Pray for those that aren't able to join us personally. They miss us. We miss them. This morning, if there's anyone here that is not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. We urge you to be baptized into Christ, deciding that today is the day that you are giving your allegiance to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Or maybe you've already pledged yourself and you need to recommit, or you need the prayers of other people who love you and want to pray with and for you. Please come, make those needs known as together we stand and we sing.